Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Pastor Josh Shelton for this life-changing message.
I want to open up in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 4, and I would call this message just, "Do You Trust Me?" Being God, do you trust God? I feel like that he was just asking me this question, do you trust me? Especially after seeing this great video, that I love the words that this young man was able to just say so eloquently and speak about trust. In Psalm 40, 1 through 4, there are a few things in this scripture that I pulled out, a couple of key words. There's three things, actually, that as we study on through this message that I'll pull out of a couple of other points in the Bible where people have come to these same experiences or encounters with God. In verse 1, it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry." Now, to that verse 1, he's waited patiently. He had expectation that God was going to meet him, was going to be there for him. So that was my first point, expectation. Verse 2, "He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock." In verse 2, he goes from expectation, he's now talking about an experience that he had. This is something that he went through, and God had brought him through this experience that would have been bad if God hadn't met him there. Verse 3, it says, "He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord." In verse 3, he's, I believe, talking about an encounter. So he has an expectation that God's going to do something in verse 1. In verse 2, he talks about an experience that he had. In verse 3, he talks about an encounter, like God coming and visiting him, putting a song in his heart, his mouth, giving him excitement, I would say, to just talk about who he is. And then it says, "And all these people, they will trust the Lord." And these three things are the things that I want to pull out of the scriptures today: expectation, experience, and encounter. And I believe that these three things really encompass what it takes to have that trust, really in anybody, but I'm talking specifically about God, our Father. That you can't trust somebody without going through something with them and them being there for you, right? The word trust literally means reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, and surety of a person and thing. And that's pretty strong. I mean, I know that we say we trust somebody, but really a lot of times in an earthly person, we do have trust, but it's hard to really have that full trust and reliance on an earthly person. But what I'm talking about is that our Heavenly Father, our God, has these things, and he is perfect in these things that trust is. I can rely on the integrity of God. Anybody else? I know that my God has integrity beyond what I could even imagine here on this earth. And the strength, ability, and surety that I know that he's going to do something. I know that I can fully rely on those things. That's my trust in him. As an illustration, of course, most of those illustrations that I would bring up would be about my kids and how my relationship with them, and because that's pretty much what we do right now, Toria and I, as we're parents, you know, besides working, it's kids, four of them, they're awesome most of the time. But, you know, I was thinking about this and about times, and there are lots of times that my kids need to trust me, and I was kind of relating that to God and thinking about the way I have to trust God and thinking about the way that my kids have to trust me. And just one of the circumstances is, you know, as kids are younger, you have to give them a bath, right? And so you're trying to wash their hair, and when you wash their hair, you have to take and pretty much dump water on their head, right? And that's kind of a scary thing for kids. I mean, you know, when they're younger, before they learn to trust you, they're kind of just like, you know, squirming and wiggling and like rolling over doing backflips in the bathtub, and because they don't want the water to get in their eyes or their face or the soap, you know, they're scared it's going to burn or what have you. And going through a process with them where I wash their hair and then I have to say, no, it's okay, I'm just going to pour the water and it's going to wash right off the back of your head. You know, I'm going to keep the water from going in your eyes. And I pour the water down on their head, and time after time as I do that, and that I'm good at it and don't get the water in their eyes, they are able to trust me. But we have to walk through that experience. You know, my kids aren't able to trust me if they don't walk through those things with me where I have to take care of them. And it's the same with God. It's the same with our Heavenly Father. If I, you know, am saved, I get, you know, believe in God and He died on the cross for my sins and everything's great, I'm going to heaven, and now I'm just going to sit back and just wait till I'm in heaven. But I don't want to walk through anything with God or Him to take me anywhere that's out of my comfort zone, or something happens that maybe isn't God's, you know, doing, but is taking you through something, and I'm just going to turn away because I'm not going to trust and rely on God. How am I ever supposed to know who He is and rely on Him for His strength and His ability unless I go through those things? Just like with my kids. You know, if I'm here, you know, walking through life and my kids are over there and they don't, you know, I don't ever protect them or ever take care of them, and, you know, they kind of don't want me to protect them, how are they supposed to know who I am and how strong I am and how I'm really strong, by the way. You know, just kidding. You know, and what I can do to take care of them. And that's the same with God. And we feel like sometimes they're like, oh, why do I have to go through this? Or, you know, Pastor Pat talking about, you know, when you go through something, or why isn't God speaking? You know, and a very simple explanation for my message, and I believe his message, and I'm sure going to do an amazing job Tuesday of explaining some different, you know, thoughts on that subject, but that as we walk through these things, and even when God isn't speaking to us, I think about with my kids that sometimes whenever I hold back from telling them something, it's so that they know that they can trust me and that I know what's best for them. Sometimes they need to walk through things before I talk to them, and I talk to them afterwards. You know, sometimes I have to take them directly through it and protect them. And I just felt God talking to me about that. Just, do you trust me? And if you do, then you can walk through anything, and I will be there with you, time after time after time. So do you trust him? I'm sure everybody would say, yes, I trust him. But, I mean, really, really, do you trust him? Is that reliance on his integrity and the surety that he's going to be there, is that what you have for him? And I would say, you know, some would say, well, I have that, but I don't want to walk through any of those situations. And I would say, if you haven't walked through any of those situations that were hard and he had to get you through, you can say that you trust him, but how do you know? You know, when has he had to be there for you? So we got to go through those things, right? I mean, I know it doesn't sound like a great thing to say up here, but those things, I know that Tori and I, walking through our life, the things that have happened that have been hard for us have been the things that have gotten me through to trust God and to rely on him more and to building my faith and my strength and who we are as a couple, as, you know, Christians, people, and all those things. But I've known that after the fact. If I hadn't gone through that, you know, I was working at the church, just doing things here and there. I switched around a couple of times, but, you know, at the other building, I helped, you know, with the Youth and Family Center, and I thought things were great. But I had to step out into some pretty serious, tough times in order to get myself, or not to get myself, but for God to get me where I am. You know, we had to go to Los Angeles, and, you know, he called us out there, and it wasn't the best time in my life, but man, did we learn and grow through that experience. And I was able to give God my trust, that little bit that I had, and him give me back greatness after, you know, knowledge and wisdom, and so that I had more of that trust in him the next time, right? Okay. In John 4:39, it says, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him, in Jesus, God, because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.'" Now, this story, I'm just going to go through and paraphrase this story, but we all, I believe, know about it, that she's a Samaritan woman. She goes to the well, and Jesus is there, and his disciples had gone on ahead of him, and they both come there, and he asks her for some water, and she's like, "Why are you asking me for water? You're not really supposed to do that because you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman, and we're not really supposed to talk." But he gets into talking with her and just telling her thing after thing about herself, and she's just ends up being amazed that, you know, this man, Jesus, is able to just speak into her life, and there's an encounter that happens. You know, he asked her for water, and he said, "But if you would come to me, I am living water, that I will refresh you over and over again, a well that never runs dry." And this woman ended up, look, he told her that she had been married, you know, five times, she's five guys, and this one she's not even married with, and look, this is a lady that really seemingly not, to some people, wouldn't be used by God, or couldn't be, or, you know, maybe didn't have what it takes. But this lady, because she had an encounter with God at that well, she trusted him. She knew that what he said was true. And then she was able to, as the scripture I just read said, change a city, this lady. They believed because of her words. And when then he came to town, all the people gathered around him, and then they, you know, just took all in all of who Jesus was, but it was because of this lady and because of this encounter. So you remember in Psalm 40, there was those three things: expectation, experience, and an encounter. And this is just a story of a woman, a person, having an encounter with God and it changing them so much that it brought that trust and that surety that I know this man is saying, what he's saying is true, and that he's going to save us. He's got God on his side. He is God. In Genesis 41:16, he used a boy, God did, named Joseph, just a boy, to save a whole region. Even saved his family that sold him into slavery. In verse 16 it said, "So Joseph answered Pharaoh." Now this is toward the end of the story. He answered Pharaoh saying, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." So what happened? He's standing before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh has a dream that nobody can interpret. But Joseph stands before him with expectation, right? This is another one of those things from Psalms. He stands before him with expectation. And why did he do that? Because he knew that God had been with him many times before and helped him interpret dreams. You remember through the story, look, if my brothers, if I told them a dream and that they were going to serve me, and why should that be a nice dream to tell my brothers? But if I told them that and then they sold me into slavery, they dropped me in a pit, you know, and like, "Why are you guys doing this to me?" And then they sold me into slavery and I had to walk through this time of seeming like, you know, I was And I think anybody would say, God, where are you at? Why are you bringing me through these things? And why do I have to deal with this? But Joseph trusting God the entire time and staying true to who he was, you know, as a Christian man and boy, just walking with God and going through situation after situation, being locked up. And now you have the butler and the baker and the guy that interprets dreams. It's like a joke, right? The butler and the baker go to jail and they meet with an interpreter of dreams. So anyway, the people in the first service really like that one, but I guess you guys are, no. But he's in jail, right? I'm sure if I was, you know, locked up and, you know, for something that I didn't do, and I'd be down. I mean, I hope I wouldn't be, but look, would I be like beating myself up and, God, where are you? You know, what's going on? And I'm not going to interpret any more dreams because that is what got me here. You know, I told my brothers that I had this dream and they threw me in a pit and then they sold me into slavery and now I'm in jail and these guys come, the butler and the baker, you know, from the joke before, and they come and they're like, we have these dreams and I'm not going to interpret them because, you know what, I know that something bad is going to happen. No. He walks through this thing, even in a pit, really, again, in jail, and interprets their dreams. And what happens is they're true. You know, he tells them the right thing, and they're like, yes, that's it. I know that that's it. And then when they get out, you know, they're able to tell Pharaoh that, you know what, there's this man in jail and he's able to interpret our dreams and he will be able to interpret your dreams. So when he gets to that point, again, he's in front of Pharaoh. He hasn't turned away from those experiences that he's had, but those encounters, experiences that he's had with God to help him, he knows. That's how he's able to have that expectation of God being with him. And he says, again, it's not me. God will give. He will. He didn't say God might give or maybe God can give Pharaoh a dream, and he's done it before, so it's possible, you know, that I think a lot of us these days would probably kind of preface that, you know. God's interpreted a dream through me before, but, you know, it could happen again, you know. He was sure. He had expectation that God would do it. Amen? We're going to go to 1 Samuel 17:37. Talk about how God used a little boy to kill a giant. Actually, you know what? My next scripture is 17:45. Let me say 17:37 first. It says, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Now what's happening here? David, still a young boy, a small guy that wouldn't even fit into the king's armor, is standing really before this army with this giant that's, what, 9 or 10 feet tall, massive, and he's not even a man-sized boy. You know, he's a boy-sized boy. But he knows, right? He had walked through these experiences. He had experience in walking with God through a tough situation. You know, he said, I was out guarding my sheep, and when the lion came, God was able to save me, help me to save these sheep from the lion and the bear. Look, a lion and a bear. You guys know how big that is? And this is a boy-sized boy, you know? And with his slingshot and his stones or what have you, taking down a lion and a bear. And then he gets to this point, and there's this giant-sized giant in front of him, and he says, who is this? First of all, I know that God's with me and he's not with him. And second of all, I know that God has saved me. I have experience of God helping me to remove this bear giant, this lion from me. I know he's going to do it again. in 1 Samuel 17:45. He says, "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you to my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you.'" This guy, I mean, he's pretty confident, right? And I just know that if he wouldn't have gone through, had an experience, multiple ones, of God saving him from things just as big as this giant, he would not have had that trust and that reliance like we're talking about here in his God. But he'd walked through it before. "In this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." That is trust right there. That's trust because of, just like I said before, when he said, "He saved me from the lion and the bear," who is this Philistine, this uncircumcised, that doesn't have a covenant with our God, you know? He just doesn't stand a chance. I've got experience with these kind of things. And I just love that, you know, each one of these stories, and I believe, you know, most of the stories throughout the Bible, they encompass people that really are unlikely heroes, right? And I just love that, and I, you know, personally myself, because I think that this kind of a thing that I'm doing up here isn't my area of comfort. And I know that what God is maybe asking each one of us to do individually in our lives most of the time is not in our area of comfort. And then we're going to have to step out and trust him. If he asks us to do the thing that we, "Oh, this is what I want to do, God, and this is what I'm good at, and this is what I have the strength myself to do, so this is what I want you to tell me to do," why would I have to trust in him? Why would I have to lean on him and have that reliance and that surety of who he is? Right? So again, I hate to say this, but when we walk through those things, I don't think that God sends bad things to us so that we can walk through them, but I know that as I've walked through things like that, that I don't believe God sent to me, I know that God used those to strengthen me and strengthen my trust in him and my reliance on him and who he is, because I know each time that he is strong. And he is able to take care of me and my family. Amen? Amen? God uses the unlikely. He's made us to need him, to want him, to search after him, to seek him. You know, sometimes we feel like, and I feel like, that, you know, I want God to come and grab me, pick me up, and take me somewhere, you know, do this, or to, but he's sitting there saying, "But that's not it. I've created you to yearn after me, to seek after me, for you to take the step. I'll meet you out there, but I've created you to take that step and trust in me." When we mix our willingness with his divine will, not his willingness with our will, but our willingness. You know, when people say sometimes, it's like, "Oh, God willing," and I'm like, "Ugh, don't say that," because I know what God said he'll do, and I know that he'll protect me, and I know that he wants the best for me. And it's not like God willing, it's like if I'm willing to do what he wants me to do. You know, it's his will and our willingness to go meet him, to go to listen to what he's saying and to walk through those things and know that he's there for us, to put our trust in him. our weakness will always make a great platform for His strength. Our weakness. Like I said before, this isn't my area of comfort and my weakness. But again, like these stories, what better to say that I was able to accomplish this and God used me to reach this people like this woman did, or that David said, you know, God used me to slay a giant in the Philistines and save Israel as a boy, even though I know that in my own strength, I couldn't have done it. You know, how much different would have been if David was like this massive dude that's like got five swords, you know, and I don't know how he'd carry five swords with two hands, but just let's just say he did because it'd be cool. So he's got all these swords and man, he's, you know, I can do this. I've done this because I'm working out and I've trained with these swords and I can kill 1,000 guys with these swords because I've done it before and because I did it. No. This story is amazing because this young boy had a slingshot and stones and God. Slingshot, stones, and boy-sized boy makes me need a massive God to bring me through that trial. And it's always the case. God doesn't need, He doesn't need my strength and my intelligence, our strength and our intelligence. He desires our trust and our reliance on Him. My strength and my intelligence, although great, no, I didn't mean it that way. Although, my strength and my intelligence are awesome. No, although that's a great thing, and God will increase our strength and our intelligence, really means nothing to Him. Our trust and our reliance, our leaning on Him means everything. It doesn't matter how strong I am, how much I know that each situation, like the Bible says, He won't take me through something that I can't handle. All it takes is my reliance and my trust on Him. That's it. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path." That really just encompasses all this. All that you have to do is trust in the Lord with all your heart. He'll direct your path. He'll get you through that giant, through, you know, anything that you're going through. He'll use you to save a people, to a town, a city, a world, whatever. And all He needs not is your strength and your mental capacity. He just needs your trust and your willingness to be used by Him. Amen? There's two options you have. This is really being black and white, but when we go through those things, you have the option of basically just turning around and saying, I don't want to go through that, or I'm not going to let God walk me through this and make me better for it on the other side. Or we have the option to just lay it before God and be strengthened and be encouraged and have His peace cover over us. Again, as I said before, how am I able to understand the peace and the massiveness of God and all that He is and all these things unless I'm going through a situation that He has to give me those things? He has to bless me with those things. Because most of us aren't born extraordinary. You know, we have all these, I love the comic book type movies and Superman, X-Men, all these things, but that's not reality, right? We don't come, most of us, don't come with dynamic abilities to do something that the world, that will change the world we live in. You know, I wasn't born with those dynamic things that are going to change my world, are going to save my world. But we've all been given a gift placed in us, not by ourselves, not by another human, but by Him, to complete this mission, this life that He's given us. He's given us this life as a gift, and He's given us the things that we need to make it through. You know, I think of the woman, again, just another story of somebody that had to place their trust in God, but the woman that had just a tiny bit of oil left, and the prophet told her, just gather up all these jars and we're going to pray. And what happened? She just placed it before God. All she had left, she just handed it over, placed her trust in Him. And He multiplied it, filled those jars more than she could use probably in her lifetime. I don't know. I mean, can you imagine that? Multiplying what we have, making bread, you know, having rolls coming out your ears. I don't really like bread that much anyway, so I can't imagine that. But God just providing with what little we have, because it only takes a little of us and just everything of Him to get us through that. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me today?
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026. Or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.